Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Job. Job chapter 32 this morning. It's the book of Job. It's right before the book of Psalms. Chapter 32. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Job chapter 32. Verses 1 and 2. As you're finding your place, if you're able this morning, please stand to your feet and honor the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Job chapter 32, beginning in verse 1. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to, as Pastor mentioned even this morning, that we have the freedoms and the opportunity to be here this morning, where many around the world don't. So Lord, help us not take it for granted. Help us listen to what you use your preacher to say this morning, to encourage, to challenge, to convict us. Whatever the need is this morning, speak to our hearts and help us to have willing and open hearts to hear. And fathers, it was prayed already this morning. I pray for those that either on the internet or in this room that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray they'd settle it this morning. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I'm going to ask that you make sure your telephones are turned off and put away, please. I won't come over at your house and spit in the soup and you don't come and listen to a sermon and look at your telephone, okay? So bear with me for just a moment. I'd appreciate that very much. We talked about Job last Sunday morning. Job's an amazing man when you consider his loss. Now look here. On the front page of our newspapers and on our news this week, we saw the tragedy of loss. Parents who sent their children to school and several of them did not come home. Watching their grief, I thought to myself about this man, Job. In one day, Job lost 10 of his children in one day, all 10. He only had 10. As we have pointed out to you before, Job's children were grown adults who had their own homes and families, which means he lost his children, their spouses, probably lost his grandchildren. Watch the grief of parents stand up and talk about their child they sent to school and didn't come home. Can you imagine that day, how much that affected their lives? Could you imagine a man who lost everything in one day? All of it. Not only all of his children and their spouses and their children, his grandchildren. He lost everything he owned in one day. And he was a very wealthy man. In one day, now not in over a period of months, but years, in one day, this man lost everything he had in this world in one day, except for his health, his wife. And very shortly thereafter, time frame I'm not sure, but I think it was very quick, he lost his health too. And he got afflicted with a disease and he had to sit in a garbage dump where they burned the garbage and sit in ashes and pick his sores to find comfort. So now everything he owns is gone. All his children are gone. Everything he has is gone. Now all he has left is his wife. And then she comes to him and says, what's the point of all this? Just go ahead, cuss God and die. Let him cuss at God and let him kill you and get it over with. Now he's lost his wife. Three friends show up, and for about 7 days, the Bible says they sit in the ashes with Job and don't say a word. By the way, oftentimes that's the greatest comfort you can provide a person. It's not what you say, just your presence and your concern. For 7 days, these three friends, very dear friends of his, they sit with Job in the ashes and they don't say anything. And then, one after the other, they start to unleash on this man and tell him, if you didn't live the way you lived, you wouldn't have this problem in your life. And they lay false accusation at Job's feet. Because remember, Job was a just and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. This man had such a good testimony. God said of him in Job chapter 1, there wasn't anybody on the earth like this man. He was that special in how he lived his life. Now he doesn't have any friends. Now his health's gone. His wife's gone. Everything he owns is gone. He's got graves. Can you imagine the funeral for that dear man that day? To bury all of his family in one day. Now in Job, we know that the Bible says he maintained his integrity. In other words, he stayed faithful in what he believed and what he thought and what he said. This is a very good man now. And I was reading that one day in Job chapter 32. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that Job, at this point in Job, the book of Job chapter 32, God is about to talk to Job through a young man. And I was reading it one day, and I look at chapter 32, verse 2. It says that Job justified himself rather than God. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, that's what happens to a lot of people today. Because of what's happening in their life, or what has happened in their life, they justify themselves. It says in that verse, he declared himself to be righteous. Job was a very good man. He took his beating from the hand of God in what happened in his life with a lot of integrity. But there came a time in these. See, the event of what happened to Job covered about 2 to 3 years. His loss was just a matter of days, which means for a long period of time, for years, he said in a garbage dump, and his friends, for years, just kept hammering away at him. Just kept hammering away at him. And said, if you weren't living wrong, you wouldn't have this happen to you. And Job, after a while, he crossed the line in one area. And what he did was this. He defended his own integrity so much and his own life so much that he justified himself, the Bible says. Here's what that means to you and me today. And what people have been doing for centuries. Job's the oldest book in the Bible, chronologically speaking. Took place right after Noah and the flood. Here's what I see people doing today, and I've done it myself. We justify what we do and how we live because of what's going on in our life. Job justified himself, the Bible said, rather than God. Now, I want you to sit up and I want you to listen very carefully this morning. If you and I are not careful, we'll fall into the same pattern as Job here. And we'll justify ourselves. Justify means declare yourself as right. In other words, we'll say, well, I wouldn't normally do this, but you see, and I watch people justify themselves in their lives because of what's going on in their life at that particular time. I remember some years ago, if you're not a golfer, you wouldn't know his name. Tiger Woods was, at that time in his life, several years ago, was one of the premier golfers in the world. He was destined to break every record ever set in golf. The guy was invincible at golf. And he had this reputation of being a good guy and a family man and all that kind of stuff. And then it was found out that he was a whoremonger. He finally went before a national press conference to talk about what he'd done with his life. And this is what Woods said. He said, I did what I did with my life because I felt like I deserved to be able to do that. I dedicated myself to the game of golf, multiplied hours of practice, sacrifice, and dedication. And he said, you know what? I just felt like I earned it. I had the right to do what I did with my life because I'd sacrificed so much for the game of golf. He justified his actions. He justified his immorality, and he justified cheating on his wife, and he justified breaking his family's heart. He justified that because he said, I felt like I deserved to get to do what I wanted with my life. Job was a man of self-justification. Can I talk to you about that for a moment this morning? There are some today, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 4, please. There are some today who justify themselves before God. Romans chapter 4, please. Turn there now. Book of Romans chapter 4 and look at verse number 1. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 1. There are those who justify themselves before God. In other words, They declare themselves to be righteous enough before God to take their own standing with Him. Look in Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father hath pertained to the flesh hath found? Romans 4, 1. Look at verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. But what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Go to chapter 5 and verse 1 across your page. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? There are people today who are self-justified. And they say, you know what? I live a good enough life. I'm better than most people. I'm better than my... Hey, son, now look, you've done enough. Sit and be quiet. Thank you. I justify myself before God. I get baptized. I've been baptized. I go to church. I live a good life. I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm better than most people. I don't go into school and shoot a bunch of children down like that. That's not my life. I've never murdered anybody. I've never done anything bad. They justify themselves before God by declaring themselves to be righteous. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the fallacy of religion today in many areas, is many religions today teach you that you have to justify yourself by what you do and how you live your life. You have to declare yourself as righteous before God. You got to be a good person. Is there anything wrong with that? Nope. Won't get you righteous before God, though. Won't justify you in the sight of God. Abraham was a good man, the Bible's talking about here. And his works, my goodness, his works were amazing. He was willing to leave his home and country and go to a place. He didn't even know where it was. And God just trusted God to get him there. And he did that. He was willing to wait on a son, his only son. And he got that boy. And then when that young man was 30-some years of age, God asked him to take him up onto Mount Moriah and slash his throat and make a human sacrifice out of him. And Abraham was willing to do that. He went all the way to the limit. This was a man whose works were good before God. But Romans said if he was justified before God by his works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. Now look at me. No one is going to stand in front of God and say, I was a good enough person to get into heaven. Nobody. Nobody will ever be justified in the sight of God by their works, their life, the way they live. That's why nobody's religion, nobody's church, nobody's actions, nobody's deeds, nobody's philosophy, nobody's choices will ever get them in a right standing with God. See, justification in the Bible is a principle that teaches this. You have to be declared righteous by God. Here in Abraham, it says he was counted unto him for righteousness. That's what it means. God put it on his account. God said, Abraham, you know, you did good and you did right. But when Abraham believed that God would give him a son of promise, and Abraham put his faith in God, and the Bible tells us later on in the New Testament that he looked forward to when Christ would come, when Abraham trusted Christ, looking forward to Christ coming, and that was his hope for a standing with God, God declared him as righteous in his sight. Salvation is through Christ alone. You have to, listen now, you have to be willing and understand this morning. Nobody's going to stand before God and be righteous on their own account. Not going to do it. Not going to happen. Well, I just think I'm a pretty good person. Thank you for being a good person. Your morality is greatly needed in our society today. Thank you for being an honest person. Thank you for being a good person. Thank you for doing the right thing. Thank you for going to church. Thank you for all the religious stuff that we're asked to do today. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But that day will come when every one of us will stand before God. And the Bible says many will stand before Jesus in that day and say, haven't we done mighty works in your name and cast out devils in your name and prophesied in your name? And Jesus will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. You are justified by your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation. Self-justification will not get you to heaven. Is that how you understand how you're going to stand before God one day? That you're going to look him in the face and declare and claim the blood of Jesus Christ as the hope of your salvation? Because I guarantee you, without that, you're going to try to justify yourself in the sight of God, and he will not accept it. He will not. So, question this morning, very simple. Can you now remember a time, point back at some time in your life, you realized you were lost, Jesus Christ died for you, and because you're lost of sin, Jesus paid the penalty for your sin, the full, complete payment with his death on the cross. He went to the grave. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what you trust and depend upon for your salvation, him and him alone and nothing else. Without that, you're not justified in God's sight. I've talked to many a person about Christ and salvation, and many a time it's almost always a religious person. And they'll say, well, I know that. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I mean, he's my Savior. No question about that. But see, I think you have to live a good life. And as soon as they transfer faith to works, they have no justification in the sight of God. You and I must understand God did not send his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so you and I could be good and go to heaven. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross because we're not good enough. And we need the justification, God, to declare us as righteous. But here's the really good news. The moment a person realizes they're a sinner and they're willing to trust Christ as their personal Savior, and they do so and they accept his payment and ask him for salvation, that very moment God says, justified in my sight. Justification in the Bible is a legal term. It means not guilty. Just like a judge in a courtroom. Once the evidence is weighed and everything is done, and the jury declares it, or the judge does himself, declares this person is not guilty, he hits the gavel and says, not guilty. And that person's, that record is removed from them. They no longer stand before that person with a count on their lives and their record, having done something wrong. Is that you today? Have you been justified in the sight of God by faith in Christ? Some justify themselves in the sight of God. Then there are those who justify themselves because of their loss. Job, in this case, he isn't holding anything against God, but in his desire to defend his integrity and the fact that he was doing right, he used this thing of his loss, the death of all of his children and family, his material possessions wiped out in one day. Now he's sitting and his health is gone. And after this, and after a couple of years of good old friends who just sat beside him and pounded away on this man, after a while, Job said, you know what? You guys just don't seem to understand. I'm right. And I must be right because look at all that's happened to me in my life. And he justified himself in the sight of others because of the loss he experienced in his life. There are those who justify themselves because they feel they're justified to do so. Because look what I've lost. The sorrow of their life. They justify living in sorrow. Everybody has sorrow today. Doesn't your heart go out to these dear people down there? It's amazing to think that these dear people are going through the same grief others have gone through many times now in our nation recently. You don't send your children to school and expect that they will not come home because somebody's going to shoot them. You don't think that. There was one of the parents was talking about the fact that they couldn't remember. Did he tell his daughter that he loved her before she left for school that day? You talk about a sorrow. And we hear it often when this kind of thing happens. Parents who've suffered that loss say, you hold your children tight and you love them and you make sure they know that you love them. We're not guaranteed another moment, ladies and gentlemen. We're just simply not. But now, please listen very carefully. And if this is said in any way and taken in a wrong way, I hope you understand that. But these dear parents are not the only ones who had a child who didn't come home. How are they going to handle this in their life now? When you suffer loss and if you don't know how to handle it correctly, you know what it is? It becomes a bitterness in you. People justify their loss in life and they justify their actions because of their loss. Well, because of what happened to me, well, here's what I'm going to do. Oftentimes, they turn on God. Some of these dear people down in Florida said, don't send us your prayers, fix this problem. Okay, if that means you don't need somebody to pray for you. It's kind of sad when you stop to think that we've gotten a place in America where people think somebody praying for you can't help you. Oh, yes, it can. But ladies and gentlemen, when you justify yourself because of your loss in life and you embrace the bitterness and you embrace the sorrow from it and that's all you have. I've heard people say before, this happened to me in my life. I will never get over it. And I think to myself, you mean never? Ever? Haven't you had a loved one go to heaven on you before? Haven't you lost some things in life before that you really wanted to hold on to? If we're not careful, we'll justify ourselves and say, well, you know what? I tell you what, I have a right to turn against God. After all, he took somebody away from me. You know, ladies and gentlemen, when you justify your life and what you do, the choices, bad choices, choices of sin or choices of bitterness, when you justify yourself to do that, you know what you've done? You put yourself in an untenable position, which means this, there is no hope of repair from there. Talking to folks, knocking doors, and talking to folks in our community for almost 35 years now. I'll come across somebody now and then, I don't go to church anymore. See, here's what happened to me. And they'll tell me the story of their loss. And I totally understand it. I sympathize with that loss. Don't make light of it for 5 seconds. But when I see them turn on God because of it, when I see them turn away from things that are right because of that, I realize something. That's what I did as a boy. I got mad because my preacher dad ran off with one of the women in the church, and my mother turned to drink and became a drunkard, and I had a stepfather who was a drunk and beat us. When I got to know a little bit later and somebody told me something about God, I didn't know who he was. But somebody told me something about God and how there was this God. But I thought, if there's really a God, he should have stopped all that mess from happening in my life. And I got mad at him because of it. You want to talk about a bitter, angry kid? Nah, so fight at the drop of my hat and drop my hat every chance I got. But I was justified because of the hypocrisy of somebody in my life. Hey, I was justified because my childhood was taken away from me. I justified my choices, and none of them were any good. No amount of loss or anything ever justifies doing wrong or embracing sin. See, that's not fair, Pastor Johnson. Oh, it's totally fair. It's completely right. Look at me. Because we justify ourselves because of our loss. Or we justify ourselves because of the circumstances of our life. Well, I'm going through so many hard times in my life right now. Now, friend, please be careful to hear this statement. You understand you're not the only one going through tough times. But that doesn't help us when we're going through our turn, right? To know somebody else is. I never drive by somebody with a flat tire and say, man, I'm glad it's them and not me. Never. Because you know what happens. You do know what happens, right? Yeah. No. But there are those who justify themselves and they use the circumstances of their life to do what they do with their life. Well, I'm going through so many troubles and trials in my life right now. You know what? I'm just going to go get drunk. Excellent choice. Excellent choice. That's it. I'm so depressed in my life right now, I'm going to go get drunk. The worst thing you could do is put a bottle of liquor to your mouth when you're dealing with depression. The worst thing. By the way, if you're not depressed, it's still not a good idea. People are, they're escapists. They want to escape from stuff. So what do? They justify their choices. They justify their actions because their life is not good. Hey, they're going through some things in their life that are difficult. Hardships. This man sitting here in the ashes, almost 3 years, getting pounded by his friends, forsaken by his wife, children all dead and gone, everything he owns. He has no hope. Ladies and gentlemen, this is after the flood. It wasn't like there was a hospital on every street corner. He has no hope of any cure for what he has or any resolution. Guess what? The day after Job buried all of his children, they were still dead. And 3 years later, there were still graves where his children's body would lay. Yes, it was still there. He still, after 3 years, he still didn't have enough money to be in a decent place to live because he didn't have anything to buy anything with. And he's got one friend after another friend just pounding away and saying, yeah, your problem is you're just not right and you won't admit it. And if you'll admit it, God will help you. And he keeps saying, I didn't do anything wrong. And after a while, he said, you know what? Hey, look at my life. I have a right to sit in these ashes now. I have a right to do what I'm doing. You justify yourself because of your life circumstances. And then what happens? Then you make choices because you're gonna fix this, right? Or maybe you adopt a situation ethics. Well, I wouldn't normally do wrong in this situation, but here's what's happening. And I've watched people actually do the very wrong thing they know is wrong, but in their mind they think, well, after what I've been through, so what? and they justify what they've done. They get lonely, so they go live with somebody instead of get married. They get up against the wall and something in their life. They're in a job situation, and all they have to do is cut a few corners to keep the job. They cut the corners because, after all, you got to work. Situation ethics. Your ethics are based on your circumstances in life. What you're facing justifies what you do. Oh, but wait a minute. How about this one? Other than their actions, how about what goes on in their heart and their life? Hey, they justify the fact that I don't trust anybody because I've been hurt by people before. You're the only one on the planet. All the rest of us have been sailing through this Pollyanna perfect life. No one's ever done us wrong. No one's ever lied to us, cheated us. It's never happened. Hey, it's never happened to us. And I'm sorry you're the only one on the planet who got treated wrong. So we justify ourselves, huh? We say, well, I mean, I'm kind of up against it here, so I wouldn't do this, but here it is. Had a man come to me years ago, wanted to buy a house. And filling out the financial forms for the house, he did not make enough money to qualify for that particular house. And his mortgage broker told him, look, all you have to do is pad a few numbers, you'll make it, you're very close. You just kind of have to adjust things a little. You know what that means, right? What does it mean, church? Yeah, but they don't say lie, just adjust things a little. So all you got to do is adjust a little bit, and you can qualify, and you'll get this house, and you'll be fine. But it's kind of how things are, he was told. And he comes to me and says, Pastor, before I fill this out, here's the situation. This is what I was told. What do I do? I said, well, let me ask you a question. What do you think you ought to do? We really need this house. I said, what do you think you ought to do? Yeah, but if I don't, I said, what do you think you ought to do? What's the right thing here? He said, I know, I can't lie. But you see, I go, whoa. I said, then it's done, isn't it? He said, well, you just told me we won't get this house. I said, no, I didn't tell you that. I told you what you're supposed to do. You do the right thing. And you know what he did? He did the right thing. And in his case, he got the house anyway. See, oh, so if I'm faced with lying, I tell the truth, I'll get what I want. No, you still don't get it right, do you? You still, look at me, you're still thinking that way. But if I do the right thing, I'll get everything I ever wanted in life. You're justifying your life now by your circumstances. As long as I get what I, no. I said, because here's what's going to happen. Every day you pull in your driveway, the Spirit of God is going to remind you, you cheated to get this house. And every time you pull in that driveway, you're going to look at that house and say, I cheated to get this house. And believe me, you won't enjoy it. It won't be pleasurable at all. Some justify themselves because of the circumstances of their life. They justify why they're bitter. They justify why they won't forgive somebody. Well, if you knew what they did to me, you'd understand God never put terms of forgiveness on anything. You have to forgive everybody except when they do X, Y, and Z. A, B, C, you don't have to forgive that. No, there's forgiveness supposed to be granted to everybody. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, are we careful today to say, let's not justify ourselves here? Let's not say, you know what, I wouldn't do this. However, but one more thing on verse number 2. Look at it again, please, because the Bible says Job justified himself rather than who? See, you get to self-justification because you don't keep justifying God in your sight, which means this. You make sure you understand God always does what's right. Yeah, but that's not how I see it. That's how you got to change it, though. I said God always does the right thing. I said God always does the right thing. You see, when you blame him for the wrong in your life and you don't justify that in your sight about God, about what in this case, about his loss, about the circumstances of his life, Job had to get to the place where he realized, you know what, but though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And he got to justify that in your mind that God does what's right. And since he expects me to do the same, I shall take my steps to follow what's right in life. He said, well, that's easy preaching, hard practicing, Pastor Johnson. You know, in some respects, yes, but in some respects, no. The some respect, yes, that's right. It's just as simple. It doesn't just mean easy. It means simple. Look at me. It's that simple. You just do the right thing. It's that simple. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. You just do the right thing. That, yes, that's simple. That's easy. But you know what? The consequences are what? How many messes do we make in our life because we justified a decision or a choice that we knew wasn't right? And then it created another situation, which we then justified ourselves to follow that, which wasn't right. And next thing you have a mess. You got a life completely out of control because you justified yourself to do something you shouldn't do. I understand today. Now look at me, I'm finished this morning. I understand today how easy it is for us just to fall into the circumstances of life and let that determine how we live. We don't do that. That's not us. Because I found something out. It's better to bite the bullet and get through what's right, doing what's right, and stay with it than to keep compounding my wrong decisions by more wrong decisions. And keep making wrong choices on top of more wrong choices. And keep doing things I'm not supposed to do and add on top of that more things I'm not supposed to do. And you keep, and before you know it, you've justified yourself into such a mess, even God probably couldn't fix it. I said couldn't. I didn't say wouldn't. But Job justified himself rather than God. So let's start with this morning. I'm going to let God be right in this matter. In salvation, it's salvation through Christ to get to heaven, period. That's it. Hey, nothing else, no one else. It's Jesus for salvation, period. God declared that, that's how it is. And it comes to things that happened to me in my life, guess what? If God's allowed it, there must be the right thing because God allowed it. So then I'm going to justify God in my sight, and then whatever happens, I'm still going to do the right thing. You understand? I'm just going to take the steps to do what I know is right in my life. See, Pastor Johnson, you make it sound way too easy and way too simple. Nope, it's not easy, but it is simple. And I'll tell you what, the consequences are what? You're going to make more of a mess out of your life than you can shake a stick at. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.